Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Ringside Report MMA. Tonight on the show, we're previewing UFC Vegas 51. Tom Aspinall versus Alexander Volkov. We're giving you winning picks. Team Dave Parlay came through last week. We're going to win more money for you tonight. Let's go.
Let's go!
Oh, yeah. Starting off the show strong, guys. Team Dave Parlay won last week. Team Fred Parlay won 2 weeks ago. Team Fred's parlay paid off quite a bit more than Team Dave's parlay, but that's not important. The important part is that Fred won 2 weeks ago. Team Dave won last week for the Magomed fight. And now, AJ, the heat is on. You better deliver some nice picks for us tonight. UFC Vegas 51. It's Alexander Volkov. It's Tom Aspinall. It's an afternoon card this Saturday in London, England. UFC finally leaving Las Vegas for a fight night, and it's in London, doing it big. First fight is at 1 p.m. Eastern time coming up on Saturday afternoon. Welcome to the show. It's Ringside Report MMA. Shout out Angelo Contagonis, member of the team. What's up, Angelo? Happy St. Patrick's Day to you, Angelo, although I guess it's Angelo McContagonis tonight. You know, I think a lot of people, I know AJ's in the spirit. How you feeling, AJ? You're St. Patrick's Day'd up. You're Irish today.
Listen, man, I'm in my lucky green, man. I'm going to pull out a winning hand for Saturday, man. I can feel it. I've been studying it. It's written down. I went into my magic cap here. I bought a magic cap, too. So not only do I got a Romanian crystal ball, I got my Irish cap. I'm ready to win, man. I'm ready to make some money because if I don't win this weekend, I'll never hear the end of it from you guys. Well, first of all,
that's right.
I got 5 out of 6 picks. You know, that's not too bad. It's not too shabby, my friend.
Yeah, but if you put that money down on a parlay ticket, you know how much money you would get back?
Zero. Good money, man.
$0. Yeah. No, zero, actually, AJ. Good money. No, you would have lost all your money if you went with Team AJ last week because the parlays keep losing. AJ hasn't hit a parlay for you all year. Team Freddy a couple weeks ago hit a really nice one. I hit a 3-fight parlay for you last week. We doubled your money, and we're waiting for AJ to come through. We're waiting.
Man, all I just needed was that one fight, man. But last week was, like, terrible, man. It was It was just a bad parlay for me, man. Just a bad parlay. But anyways, it's okay, man. This weekend's going to turn around. How much did you win, by the way, on your bet, Dave?
Don't worry about it. I doubled my money. I would have to tell you how much I bet. I didn't
bet. Well, you got to, man. You want people to win, man. It's only
about you. It was $20. Like I said, the Team Dave parlay, $20. I doubled my money. I made about $40.
All right.
I mean,
it's the way you do it, man.
Yeah. How much money do you win off fight picks last weekend, AJ? Goose egg.
As they say in Italian, niente.
Yeah.
As they say in Ireland, fuck all.
As they say in Russia, niet. Shout out to Patrick C. Hamilton. Patrick C. Hamilton drops a super chat, 777, lucky 777 from Patrick C. Hamilton. He says, I did a hybrid bet, Brett. I'm thinking about Bret Hart. I'm always thinking about Bret Hart. I did a hybrid bet. Pereira, Yadong, and Magomed paid 12, 127.06. There you go. Patrick winning money. Good job, Patrick.
Pereira. I live with Pat wins, man.
I had Pereira, Yadong, and Mustafayev on my parlay. My parlay was looking real shaky. First fight of the night, I had Mustafayev. He was losing that fight. Lost the first two rounds. It was not looking good. And then flying knee knockout in the third round, comes back and wins and saves the parlay for Team Dave. So shout out to Mustafayev. Did real well for Azamat. I think his name was Azamat. I don't know.
Yeah, he was on the mat, all right.
No, he put the other guy on the mat. Azamat, no, not
picks,
Mustafayev.
Man.
Sorry, Mirzakhanov. Mustafayev is some other guy. They got a lot of these Kanovs and Ayevs. A lot of Russian dudes in UFC these days. I don't know if you guys noticed. There's a ton of them. They're everywhere. Volkov is main eventing this weekend. Another Russian dude.
A lot of Russians, man.
Against who again?
Well, you know what? I got
Aspinall.
Listen, man. Listen,
Fred's done his homework. Fred's done his homework for the show tonight. Fred's done his research. Who's the main event? Volkov against who? Aspinall. He's British and he's fighting in London, where our buddy Anthony McDonough is. He says, "Hello, gents. Just in from the pub celebrating St. Paddy's Day. Not usually on for the UFC, but if there's money to be earned, I'm listening." All right, Anthony. Well, I hope, Anthony, member of the team, I hope you enjoy the MMA show tonight. I hope you had a good St. Paddy's out in England. I don't know what time it is out there, but I'm sure he had a – it's nighttime. It's late at night. You know, it's 5 hours ahead, so –
Well,
know, 2 a.m. It's like roughly 2 a.m. out there, so he's had a good night.
It's still early, man.
He's had some
still
fun.
Early out in London.
And you got the UFC in your town this weekend in London, so that's pretty cool.
You got Paddy the Batty, man, that's going to be on that card. It's going to be amazing. But here in Montreal, they're just starting to go out to party, man. I got a whole crew that's watching this from the pub. I think – I don't know if they're at McKibben's or one of those. Watching the show tonight, man, AJ is not going to be partying because AJ's, you know – He's committed to the show, man.
You're too old.
I'm decking. What the fuck you mean I'm too cold? What the hell does that mean? How dare you, Dave?
You're too old to party this. I mean, what do you
mean? What? You're never too old to party, man, when it's St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, it's only
12. Did you see the picture on Instagram?
Oh, it's 4 hours ahead. I thought it was 5 or 6 hours ahead. It's 12
a.m. There's plenty of drinking left in London, man.
It's not that late. Yeah, I've never. I think you're too old to go out and party for St. Patrick's Day.
No,
what are
you talking about? Listen, man. If
I feel like I'm too old, and you're way older than me, so
you never go out, man. You're not like AJ. AJ likes to, like, you know, go out on the town, man. He goes crazy on the town. AJ is used to the nightlife.
Stay away from the town.
You're like, I know that's the difference. Freddie too. You guys are the same when it comes to that department, man. You're like homebodies, man.
Yeah,
AJ. You know he likes to go out and have fun, man. Except for tonight, man. I'm committed to the show. To all my homies watching, man, have fun at the pub. Have one on
Fred,
me.
Fred, AJ's cool. You and me, we're just kind of like nerds that like to stay at home and play video games and smoke weed.
And you know what? And listen, jokes aside, but you guys, like, you know, from the first time like I ever met you guys, you've been like that. Like, I used to go out and you'd be like, is this guy like going out? I used to finish the show and I'd be like, okay, guys, I'm going out. I go to like PJs or like whatever back in the
so
days.
Oh, so late, but too.
Yeah, man, and I'd go, like, early in the morning, I'd be at work, first person at work. I never missed a day of work, man, no matter how much I went out. And now that I have my little guy, it becomes a little bit different, you know? So I'm decked in green, I'm all ready to go, but listen, man, it's just going to be me solo tonight. And everybody who's watching, man, I'll drink virtually, man.
Should I ask
what's
in the cup?
Patrick's Day is fun.
Are you, like, celebrating? Is it a celebratory drink?
Man, listen, St. Patrick's Day, for me, is very important, man. I went to a very Irish school. AJ, as an Italian, went to an Irish school, so imagine that. My kid's name is Irish. Mm. Think about it.
Caden
is a very Irish name.
I saw a meme today on Twitter that said everybody's Irish on St. Patrick's Day except Italians.
Yes. What?
I don't know.
Who told you that?
It was like an Italian person that tweeted it, kind of saying, hey, you know, we don't join
yeah,
in
because
on this.
He probably was from the East End, that's why, man. Mm. Listen,
I don't feel Irish on St. Patrick's Day. I've never felt Irish.
You don't?
No, I don't drink, really. I don't get the holiday. It's not for Fred, you don't celebrate St. Patrick's Day either. It's not really something you do.
What? You guys, man. Listen, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go this year. Freddie, you haven't gone to a parade. Dave hasn't gone to a parade. Next year, since there's no real – there's a parade coming up on Sunday, but it's not a full parade. Next year – we're going to all go to St. Patrick's Day parade with the kids. I'm telling you, you're going to have a blast. I'm telling you.
No, I'm not doing that.
No, you're going to do it. I'm going to organize it.
No chance
Freddy, we'll
in
have breakfast.
Hell.
Listen, Freddie, listen. This is what we're going to do. We're going to go for breakfast.
That's what
we're going to have Irish coffees. We're going to have, like, a couple of Guinnesses along the way. We're going to have, like, even have fried Mars bars. I don't give a rat's ass. But we're going to do it next year. Listen, did you know that the St. Patrick's Day parade in Montreal? Listen to this. The Irish parade in Montreal is the second longest parade.
No chance! Da-na-na-na-na. No chance at all!
See, that's why I like music like the Irish Rovers, man. You know?
Anthony McDonough just sent this to me. It's Anthony McDonough. He just sent this to me. He goes, love AJ's top. Look, he's wearing the same gear. He's decked out, brother. Shout out, Anthony. Thumbs up, my man. Look, he's wearing the same
man,
top as you.
Listen, Anthony, do you got one of these mugs? Where is it? Here we go.
Almost. Shout out, Anthony.
You got one of these mugs? This, my friend, ThermoSealed, man. This is the real deal here in Montreal, Canada. We party like there's no. Listen, first of all, Anthony, just to let you know, Montreal has the second largest Irish parade in the world. Here in Montreal, man, the most Irish in Canada are here in Montreal. Just to let you know,
can I
went
tell
to
you
a very
something?
Irish school.
Can I admit
high
something
school,
to
by
you
the way.
Guys? I probably shouldn't
tell
be
me,
saying
man.
This, but
you're Irish.
No, I'm not Irish. I have zero Irish in me, like 0% Irish.
You'd be the first Jewish Irish guy in all of Ireland.
That was a question I thought about asking today, but I thought maybe it's inappropriate. Are there Irish Jews? Like, do they exist? There's got to be some. There's got to be one synagogue in Ireland. You know what I mean? Synagogue Dublin. There's got to be one. Yeah. There's synagogue. There's Jews. There's Jews. There's like three or four of them. There's three or four of them at least that I'm seeing in Dublin. And you know what? They're all in kind of the same neighborhood. So there must be like a small Jewish neighborhood in Dublin. There are Irish Jews. So shout out to my Irish Jews celebrating. Yeah.
Peace, love, man, for everybody.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, that's not good. Listen, between the Protestants and the Catholics in Ireland, man, there was some ongoing battles for even now, but back in the days, man, it got really, really rough.
Are you going to go?
Up,
yeah. Angelo just said, can we talk MMA, guys? And yeah, we'll talk MMA, Angelo. Take it easy. Yeah, we'll get there. AJ
Angelo,
has
talk about Patty
lost
the Batty,
in his
man.
St. Patrick's
this
Day. But, yeah, what are you talking about, like, a Catholic and Protestant wars now? Like, can we not do that? Can we talk about the fights, AJ? Like, I'm with Angelo at this point.
Listen, man, you brought it up. Don't blame me, man.
I didn't bring it
up.
Man. I said you were dressed up, looking all festive, like a little leprechaun, man.
I love that little guy, man. That's like a mini AJ, man.
What little guy?
The guy that Anthony put the picture that you just sent there.
That's Anthony. It's not a little guy. It's a guy. What do you mean, little guy? You're a little guy.
I am, man.
You look like a leprechaun with that little hat on. The little hat and the jacket. You got the whole outfit. The hat makes you look especially frolicky.
Listen, I'm gonna give you a little secret. Back in the days, I had to take a part-time job. Okay, this is no joke, man. And I had to work at a Cavendish mall. No, wait, let me finish. So my part-time job was at Christmas, and they were looking for a leprechaun. They were looking for an elf.
Perfect.
So I'm like, okay, let me do it, man.
Yeah.
So I ended up getting the job, dude. Mm-hmm. I was decked out as an elf for like 2 weeks. Man, you got to have fun sometimes,
That makes
bud.
Sense.
Did you?
That makes a lot of sense. I could see you as a professional elf. You seem...
I was, man. I was like, good at it, too.
You know? Like if Fred told me, oh, I was a professional elf, I'd be like, yeah, were you though? And I'd be like, I don't think you were that good of an elf. Me as a professional elf, I don't think that would work. But AJ is an elf, Fred. You know what I mean? Like you could picture that. He's got elf-like features, and not just features, but like just
probably
kind of
just
a way
as
of
good
being.
As Will Ferrell.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
probably
man.
Not. He's a professional.
I was better than him. Listen, man, my sister used to see me in the mall, man. She used to cringe. But, man, I used to have a blast. I'm telling you, man, it was like one of the best gigs I ever did. I miss it. I made good money, too, man. You know how many Jewish moms came around me and dropped off their kids so I can, like, do drawings and, like, jokes and all that kind of stuff? It was fun, man. I was young. I was a young AJ at that time. So, MMA. Let's get back to MMA, man.
Yeah.
Good yeah, could we? Like, I don't know what the hell happened at this point. Let's get
Listen,
to the main
I'm tell
event.
You what happened.
Let's stop
Listen,
messing
you
around.
Guys are
no,
one
no,
thing.
Shut
you're
up, AJ.
One thing on MMA.
Shut the fuck up,
Listen.
AJ. Oh my god, what?
Hey, you forgot about one thing, Yusuf. Last week, man, you guys said I was wrong, and Bruce Lee there was gonna smash him. Both of you guys agreed, and I told you that wasn't gonna happen. I just wanted to bring it up. AJ was right on that, man. Leroy wasn't going to do it. He's too big,
man. Who had a
winning
parlay last week, AJ? Give the people some ways to make money, and don't just tell me random things that you got correctly when mostly you're wrong. Okay?
If you're not first, you're last.
Yeah, and you were last. You're last place on the team right now. Team Fred, I would say in the lead. Team Dave, second place. Team AJ, third place, dead last. Because Fred won the most money on the parlay a couple weeks ago, and then I won a parlay last week, and AJ hasn't won a parlay all year.
Listen, me and Johnny are tied, man. So technically, I'm not last. We're tied.
Johnny doesn't pick fights. And Johnny doesn't claim to know how to pick fights. You talk about how you're always right. He goes silent. He's got no answer.
I mean, Johnny's perfect. He's 0 for 0. So yeah. That's pretty much perfect. AJ,
100%.
You're like 0 for 1 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, Angelo, AJ sucks.
Oh,
I'm
wow.
doing a lot of sucking there, Angelo.
Wow, AJ sucks. Just straight up, AJ sucks.
Oh, Anthony, don't get me wrong. I'm not insulting you, but I'm not like, listen, man, I was just joking, man. It's a joke.
All right. Shout out, Anthony. Shout out, Angelo. Patrick C. Hamilton is a super chat leader. All the members of the team tuning in tonight to whatever the hell this is. Thankfully, the show is going on. Technically, we're going well. Last night, we had some issues, but technically, everything's good tonight. It's Volkov and Aspinall, Fred. Tom Aspinall. I actually watched a couple Volkov and a couple Aspinall fights going into this preview show because I do research and I want to win money. And, you know, I mostly want to win money. Aspinall, I believe, will win this fight. I'm pretty impressed with what he's done. He's finished everybody that stepped in front of him in the UFC. He knocked out Sergey Spivak in his last fight. Before that, he submitted Andrei Arlovsky, and he put a pretty beating on Arlovsky. Aspinall has some very fast hands. He jumps into grappling opportunities. He's got decent takedowns, but I don't think that he'll have that much ease taking down Volkov as he did Arlovsky in that fight, and maybe I don't think he's really going to shoot for that many takedowns either. If it does go to that, I think he struggles, but I don't think it's going to be a fight where Aspinall goes for a lot of takedowns. He is a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. If Volkov does take him down, Aspinall will be ready, but I think this fight will take place mainly standing up. Aspinall is a big heavyweight, 6'5", so not hugely undersized against the gigantic 6'7" Volkov. You know, most heavyweights, you go into fights with Volkov and you think, oh, they're going to be much smaller than Volkov because Volkov is so big. But Aspinall is actually 6'5", so I think that the size difference won't play a huge factor. And I think the speed and the athleticism will, and the power, too, of Tom Aspinall. He'll also be fighting at home. He is only a slight favorite right now. I'm seeing different betting odds on Aspinall. I will get you the Bet99 betting odd. Don't forget to bet with us. Win some money with the Ringside Report team. Go to Bet99.com. Use that promo code Ringside when you do. Take advantage of our initial deposit matching bonus of up to $600 when you sign up at bet99.com using that promo code Ringside. Right now, Aspinall minus 129, Volkov plus 105. I like that number. I think there's a lot of value in going with Tom Aspinall at home on that win streak with that hand speed. Look out for the footwork and the hand speed of Tom Aspinall to play the difference in that fight. I'm going with Tom Aspinall. I think it's going to be a good one, though, because Volkov, he's very smart. He's very long. He uses his range very well, and he knows how to pick you apart and win on points. This is a 5-round fight. Aspinall is a guy who usually puts you away in the first couple of rounds. He's actually never been into a third round in his MMA career. Volkov has fought full 5-round fights. He's done it before, I think a couple of times. He lost to Curtis Blaydes going all 5 rounds, lost to Ciryl Gane going all 5 rounds. So he hasn't been that successful. He did beat Fabricio. He had a fight against Fabricio Werdum in a 5-rounder that he beat Werdum in the 4th round. And yeah, he's got wins over. I'm talking about when it goes to decision after 5, Volkov has lost. He's never won a 5-round decision. But yeah, he's beat Overeem. He's beat Walt Harris. He's beat Greg Hardy. He's beat Werdum. And most recently, he beat Marcin Tybura in October of last year. I don't think Tybura brings the same amount of threat pressure and athleticism that Aspinall brings. So I like Aspinall in this fight. I think he wins. I think it's going to be I think it's going to be a good fight, but I think Aspinall winds up catching Volkov and putting him away. I like Aspinall by knockout too. Yeah, AJ.
Look, Freddie, you don't mind if I go? Because I agree with Dave. I think Aspinall is going to take the win on this. But to be honest, I think you're wrong on one thing.
Okay.
Like, I understand a lot of people expect it to be a firefight. It's going to be like stand up, like, you know, fist fight. But what you're wrong on is that, like, this fight, if you look at the qualities of Aspinall, man, this guy was born on the mats. This guy is a jiu-jitsu ace. This guy is unbelievable on the ground. His wrestling is really, really good. And I really think that's what his game plan is going to be. His game plan is going to be to take down Volkov. Even though he has a 76% takedown defense, most of the guys he's fought weren't wrestlers. And if you look at wrestlers, when he fought Curtis Blaydes, I was looking at the stats. The fight in Curtis Blaydes, he got taken down 14 times. So this is the thing. When he doesn't go up against a wrestler, great takedown defense. But you're going up against a guy like Aspinall. Aspinall is going to basically take this fight to the ground. If he doesn't submit him, he's going to have a TKO in this fight. I don't think it's going to be that much sparred, like fist to fist. You look at Volkov, he's got a 3-inch reach, 2-inch height. 3 inches is not that much to make a big difference. When it starts hitting like the 5-6 inch reach, it becomes dangerous to get into that pocket. But just for the fact that everybody looks at Aspinall saying, oh, this guy's coming out only as a striker, they're wrong. This guy is all about jiu-jitsu, man. He grew up on the mat. He loves wrestling. And the guy, even though he's has two losses on his fight career, I remember looking at some of the fights, and I saw one of his losses was disqualification because he did the John Jones elbow down that lost, and he only got submitted once, whereas Volkov got submitted twice in his career, even going 34-9. But I really believe in the game plan in this fight is not to really go toe-to-toe. I think he's going to take him down on the mat and win by TKO.
Okay. I mean, maybe, although I not to say that it can't happen. I think Aspinall's got some skills to do it. I don't think he's got the takedowns to be able to take Volkov down at will. You know, if he's able to take him down once and finish it after one takedown with, you know, control, maybe I could see that. But I think if he gets one takedown and Volkov gets up, I don't think it's going to be a barrage of takedowns. I don't think Aspinall gets more than 2-3 takedowns in this fight.
I don't
but
know, man.
Like,
whatever.
Volkov is going to be able to stuff some. So if Aspinall goes for a lot of takedown attempts, that's going to be a grueling type of fight. And we'll see how it goes. I got confident. I'm going to go with you guys with Aspinall. But like you said earlier, Volkov's been in the five rounders. Volkov, he has decent takedown defense, although against a good wrestler, he struggled. But I'm not sure Aspinall's there either. So I'm going to go with Aspinall, probably edging a pretty close fight, because I'm not gonna say Volkov has no chance. Like, I could see Volkov keeping his distance, hitting his punches, and maybe edging a decision. But this fight is gonna be pretty close, I feel. So Aspinall by decision, 48-47.
Only guy that's been able to put Volkov away in the UFC was Derek Lewis by knockout in 2018. Other losses come by decision to Curtis Blaydes and Cyril Gann. I think Aspinall is going to be able to put Volkov away. I don't think it'll be that quick. Although it might. With Aspinall, that's kind of the way he fights. But we'll see what happens. I like AJ predicting Aspinall to out-wrestle Volkov. I cannot remember when I've ever seen... Not to say it won't happen, AJ. I'm just saying... when's the last time you saw a guy from England out wrestle a Russian guy in the UFC?
Look, and that's
it just
what I'm
seems
to tell
odd.
You.
It just seems like
no,
something that shouldn't happen.
Yeah, well, it's gonna happen on Saturday. And the thing is that Volkov is he's the weakest when he's up against guys that are really wrestling based, and that's what Aspinall is. Everybody looks at him as a stand up guy, but really his game is pure wrestling and pure jiu-jitsu, man. He's dangerous. He's dangerous as a jiu-jitsu fighter. I just think that he's going to have the same. I think Volkov is going to be in the same place as he did with what's his name?
Blades.
Man, I'm losing. Blades. When he got taken down 14 times. That's the difference. So I think they're going to use the same game plan. I just really believe that, you know, it's going to end up as a finish. And I believe that finish is going to be a TKO. I don't think anybody's going to get knocked out. I think it's just going to be a stoppage, man. Ground and pound, he's going to control that in the octagon. And that's my prediction of a win.
All right. Well, I think we're both predicting the same win, AJ, just different ways to do it. So if you're betting, you're basically picking the same pick, which is Aspinall by knockout. You have Aspinall by knockout, just with a takedown and then punches. I have Aspinall punching and then Volkov falling and then more punches and then a knockout that way. So pretty much the same result and the same exact pick if you're going to bet on it. We just see it playing out in different ways. And Freddie, you're going with Aspinall by decision. All right, then.
Close fight.
Close fight.
It's going to be a close fight.
Saturday afternoon. You got to love the afternoon UFCs, though, right?
For us. These are the barbecue fights, man. Too bad. We should have a barbecue. Why don't we get together, man? Let's do a barbecue. Freddie.
I don't know.
My door's always open, man.
So let's do it, man.
Arnold Allen is the co-main event, taking on Dan Hooker. Hooker dropping down from 155. Yeah, dropping down
Hooker's
from one
down.
Yeah, okay. Are you done?
I'm waiting for you, bud.
Are you, though? Because you're more interrupting me than waiting for me. You're just kinda...
I was waiting all day for that one. Okay, go.
Hooker's so about to get laid.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. Fred's upset again. Fred, we're in trouble now, man. Dave is pissed, man. Dave, okay. Listen, man, we were waiting all day for these Hooker jokes, man. Listen, the only good thing is that Dave is pissed now.
Are you
He's
done?
Pissed.
Are you done?
I promise I won't say anything. I'm going to hold it.
So Hooker coming down from 155. This is a drop to 145. He lost three of his last four at 155, but to Dustin Poirier, Michael Chandler, and Islam Makhachev. So, you know, he's lost to some pretty tough guys. He did beat Nasrat Haqparast. Now he's coming down to fight Arnold Allen. Betting odds have Allen minus 120, the favorite. Hooker plus 100, the underdog. Arnold Allen, though, 17-1, undefeated in the UFC. Seven straight in the octagon. He's won 10 straight in his career. This guy fighting out of his home country. He's from England, fighting in London. This could be a big fight for Arnold Allen, coming in off a win off Sadiq Youssef, who AJ was very high on last weekend. And Arnold Allen beat him in his last fight about a year ago. I've been impressed with Arnold Allen. I remember first finding out about him when I heard people in Montreal talking about him, because he was training with people here in TriStar, and he's gone on quite a run. Kind of a quiet run, though. Like, to be
he's underrated.
To be 17-1, to have won 10 straight, to have won all of your fights in the UFC, seven in a row. But I think he had some legal problems. I think there was some sort of incident. There was an incident, I think, that kept him out of action for a little while. I don't remember exactly.
It is ringing a bell. I just can't remember what.
Yeah, he was issued a five-month suspended sentence in 2016 for a brawl. So I don't know if that kept him out of action, though. I guess he's been fighting consistently. 2015, 2016. Fighting once each
he's
year,
2017. UFC,
he doesn't fight that often, though. He fights like once a year. He fought once in 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019.
Can I speculate?
2019, he fought twice. 2020, he fought once. 2021, he fought once. And this will be his first fight in 2022. Speculate away, Fred.
Well, I was just going to say, is he fighting mostly in his country? Because sometimes when you get issues, it's hard to get visas to get into the States. So I'm just speculating.
No.
He's got a point.
He's fought in the States.
Yeah, he's got a point.
No, he fought. His last three fights were in the States. He fought in the States last April. So probably all right. But he just doesn't seem to fight that often. I don't know why. But this is a big fight for him here against Dan Hooker. because Hooker is a guy that people are aware of, but because he's had those high-profile fights with Makhachev, with Dustin Poirier, right, with Michael Chandler. Like, these are kind of big-name guys in the UFC.
Yeah. But he lost the name guys, man.
Yeah, Dustin Poirier fought Dan Hooker right after fighting Khabib Nurmagomedov and right before fighting Conor McGregor. You know, like, Dan Hooker was in that kind of mix, you know? But now dropping to 145, it's not always the best thing for guys when you see them start dropping to 145, and I think maybe the competition at 155 was too much, and he thought maybe 45 was the spot, but I think Arnold Allen's going to give him some problems. I got Allen by decision here.
You know what? He's fighting in his hometown. I totally agree with you. And if you look at Hooker's last four, he's 1-3 in his last four. He's going down in weight, man. Back to 145, where he used to fight from 2014 to 2016. He was 3-3, and he's going back down to 145 when he didn't even look that great when he was cutting weight above. It doesn't make sense. Like, he's, you know, these are the Hail Mary rides right now. He's just trying to hope that he can make the cut in this division. He's going back down. He didn't have a great, like, run. Man, when he was there in the past, 3-3, man. I don't know, man. Allen is 8-0 in the UFC, man. The guy is on a 17-1 like fight, like, you know, stat.
Record.
I mean, the
his
guy
pro
is,
record
he has
is 17-1.
Yeah, he's an elite fighter. The only thing that these guys are good at is they're both good kickboxers, and that's what it's going to be. It's going to be a kickboxing match. But does Hooker have what it takes to go back down in weight when he struggled when he was above? He was struggling to make weight above. I don't understand how these guys do it. It doesn't make any logical sense, man. But anyways, they're there, and I agree with you. I think Allen is going to take it. It's his hometown crowd that's going to be behind him, man. This guy's going to be charged.
All right. Freddie?
Yeah, Arnold by decision. I'm not a big believer in Dan Hooker. I know his losses came to top competition, but What are his impressive wins? You know, does he? I don't have the record in front of me, but I feel that most of the big fights he always loses them. So, I'm not sure Arnold is a big name yet, but I'm still gonna go with Arnold winning that one. 17-1, solid fighter on a good streak. Arnold for the win.
There you go.
And he has good grappling as well. He great grappling, so that's one thing that you know, that he has as well as on a scale. So we'll see what happens on Saturday. But
Paddy Pimblett is on this card as well. A lot of people excited about him. I don't know if he's the future. He's definitely got some promise. This is a fight at 155 pounds. Pimblett versus Vargas. Vargas is tough, you know, coming in with a 12-4 record. He's a big underdog right now. Vargas is plus 400, Pimblett minus 567. I think Pimblett does win this fight. He's got a personality. People seem to like him. He talks a good game. He looked really good in his last fight, which was his UFC debut, knocking out Luigi Vendramini in the first round. Pimblett has been on a streak. He's looked good. He's well-rounded. He's a young kid, 27 years old, very athletic, fighting out of Liverpool. I think this is going to be the Paddy Pimblett show. I think he's going to go on and put on a show. I like Pimblett, but I think that this one may go the distance because Vargas has never actually been knocked out. He's lost a couple, both by decision. He's lost once by submission as well, but Pimblett is a guy that's going to be looking to take your head off, and I think he's going to have trouble with the Mexican-born Rodrigo Vargas. So I think this one goes to decision. I think it could be fight of the night. I think it's going to be real exciting. Pimblett wins. It could be a knockout, you know, if he lands the right shot, but I like Pimblett by decision. That's where I'm going here. Pimblett, a huge favorite, minus 567. I think he's a lock to win, no matter how you slice it. Pimblett, a big favorite, but I also think he is a guarantee to win. This is a guy that the UFC has their eye on. This is a star in the making, and they're giving him an opponent for the hometown crowd. You know what I mean? This is Paddy Pimblett's opponent in England. He's supposed to beat this guy. He's a huge favorite. He's fighting at home in his second UFC fight. They're trying to make this guy into a star, and they do that by giving him favorable matchups. This is a lock. Pimblett wins. What do you think, AJ?
Look, man, Pimblett, like I said, like he is the future. Him and Mitchell, man, are going to be the names that are going to carry the UFC in the years to come. Pimblett is everything that you could think of as a second coming of Conor. I'm telling you, I've heard this guy in interviews, and you know what? He talked about his loss by submission back in the days. This guy's been fighting since he was 16. He went professional when he was 17 years old. You know, he's gone through the weight cuts to the point where he almost died a few times. And, you know, he had to reevaluate everything. And really, like he said, he goes, when I was younger, you know, I was just coming out as a fighter, and just like I would go out and party all night and come back and, you know, completely drunk, but still get into the gym in the morning and fight. That was my thing. I wasn't really looking at it professionally. He goes, today, I'm looking at it as I'm an athlete. And that's a different. Everything that he does, he's there. He's got that charisma. He's got that amazing accent. You know, he goes wild. And in fact, you talked about, like, he throws a show. He started the show this week with Topuria, where they started throwing each other like insults, and then a hand sanitizer like nailed Ilya, and he calls him Mr. Hand Sanitizer now. I mean, it's like a complete craziness. You have to see the video of what happened. But the thing is that, I mean, they had a backstory on that. But the thing with Pimblett, what I like about him is he really talks the talk and he walks the walk. Listen, there's no doubt about it. Vargas is dangerous, man. He has heavy hands and everything. He's 1-2 in the UFC. But when it comes to overall, this Pimblett has everything. And when it comes to the grappling aspect, man, this guy he has the edge over Vargas. And if he gets top control over Vargas, he's going to end the fight. And I think that's how it's going to happen. Pimblett is coming to make a statement in his hometown. And eventually, if he fights in Liverpool, like he says, he'll be the main card. And I'm happy that's happening in England. People in England have to always watch these fights at 3, 4, 5 in the morning. It's unfair. This Saturday, man, we get to see it early. We'll have a barbecue at Freddy's, and English fans get to see like real talent coming out of Britain. And I'm telling you, Pimblett is everything. I'm really hyped about this guy, man. I really think this guy's going to be the future of the UFC. And you know what? He's a great supporter. I just want to say before I cut off there, is that he's coming in with a three-year-old child that has brain cancer, you know, and really likes Pimblett. Pimblett does so much for the community. He's so active in the community. In all aspects. I was listening to him. I researched him. The guy does everything. So this child's coming in on Saturday. Pimblett's bringing him in. It's his wish, you know, hopefully, you know, his make-a-wish kind of thing is to go to the UFC at 3 years old. Pimblett's doing it. Mind you, he's been banned. Like I was saying earlier, he's been banned off of Instagram and Facebook because he got into a beef with some people that were making fun of this child on his Instagram page, and now he has a beef with Mark Zuckerberg, calling him a bully, which okay. I totally agree with Pimblett. But Pimblett has everything. He's like the George St. Pierre and the Conor McGregor wrapped up in one. Remember what
and
I said, guys?
You touched on every point, man.
Yeah, you really.
I did. I had to, man.
You touched on every. Like, how's his mom? Tell
his
us.
Mom
about
is
his mom
is awesome. You know what? I'll tell you something.
No, AJ, I'm going to tell you something. I would be a little bit more hyped, and I would believe more of the bullshit that you're spewing out of your face right now.
I'm not bullshit, man.
If I didn't have his record in front of me, and he's 17-3, and in 2017, he lost to a guy called Nad Narimani by decision. And then in 2018, he lost to another guy called Soren Back by decision. And then he beat a guy called Decky Dalton.
He had a sore back?
Yeah, he lost to a guy called Soren Back, who now fights in Bellator, who's 11-1.
Should have fought with a sore back.
And then he beat a guy called Decky Dalton and Davide Martinez, and then earned himself a UFC shot. So I'd be more impressed if he went through the regional circuit Cage Warriors promotion and maybe came out like a double champion, knocking out everybody, being a champion at 155 and 145, like Conor McGregor was. Paddy Pimblett, not the double champion, losing fights.
He was one of Europe's MMA champions, man. This guy came out of out of the circuit. He was one of the most popular fighters in England, man.
Look at his record.
It doesn't matter. Everybody has a shitty record at some point. Even George got knocked out by Matt Serra.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, it's in the UFC.
He was a fighter.
It's not in the
athlete.
Regional circuit.
Doesn't matter. I'm telling
you. It does matter. Losing fight, being beatable matters in MMA when you're trying to predict the future top fighter in the world. Patty Pimblett. You're talking about Patty Pimblett as the future of the division. You're talking about a 155-pound division where Islam Makhachev would eat him alive. It would be so easy.
Charles Oliveira would tap him in the first round.
Yeah, man. What are you talking about?
Remember, I hope this, listen, I'm going to cut out this part. If Pimblett ever gets to the top,
if he ever gets to the top, you don't even believe that he'll ever get to the top. And if
he does
get to the top, Islam Makhachev will tap him in one round. One round. With ease.
I'm more on Dave's side, man. Dave called it earlier. This is a favorable matchup for him, so he should win. I'm picking Patty to win. And you know, he has, like, the charisma, so the UFC, they want to build him up, and it's all good, man. But he's fighting somebody that he has to beat. Like, so I expect him to win, but don't ask me to be impressed by you beating Vargas. Like, you want to be a big player, man? You got to fight some bigger names. And we'll see there. But like Dave says, the guy has 3 losses in his career already, man.
Yeah.
Future UFC champs don't lose 3 times on the regional.
Yeah, but he's
man.
Look, exactly. His record, Vargas is no joke. His record doesn't really showcase everything about him. This guy is a really good fighter with solid wrestling, man. He has everything. It's just that shit happens sometimes. Pimblett is not taking this guy lightly, man. Vargas is a good fighter.
No, but you don't understand what Fred's saying. Fred is telling you that future UFC champions don't have 3 losses on the regional circuit. 3 unavenged losses. Like, if he lost to those guys and then came back 2 fights later and beat them, I'd be like, oh, okay, he figured it out. But that's not what happened. It's not what happened. And you're calling him the future. I doubt it. I'm skeptical.
Him and Mitchell, man. Him and Mitchell are the future.
Well, Mitchell's undefeated. Mitchell's undefeated. He's beating people up. I could buy that. Patty Pimblett's got 1 fight in the UFC, and he's got an accent that you like, and all of a sudden he's the next Conor McGregor.
Patty versus Bryce.
Conor and George.
Yeah, Bryce is smashing.
Actually, Bryce is a featherweight. So
yeah, he's 145. Yeah, but even then, if Bryce went to 55, I think he'd still smash him. Just saying. Because Bryce is legit. Okay, other fights on this card. We've got Gunnar Nelson taking on Takashi Sato. This should be a comeback fight here for Gunnar Nelson. He's a huge favorite, -550. Sato +375, the underdog. Gunnar Nelson needs to win this fight. I think that he does, but he's lost 2 in a row to Gilbert Burns and Leon Edwards, 2 of the best at 170 pounds. He hasn't fought in a little while, though. Those fights were in 2019, and that's the last time we saw Gunnar Nelson. I'm not really sure what happened to him. I think he was hurt. Different things. But, yeah, he's been off for a while. Gunnar Nelson, great jiu-jitsu out of Iceland. Talented fighter, and I think this is a comeback fight where he gets a victory. I think this is the return of Gunnar Nelson. But, again, guy hasn't fought in almost 3 years, coming off 2 straight losses to 2 of the best at 170, but still a lot of time away. But Takashi Sato isn't, you know, a top-level opponent. He's coming off a loss in November 2020, so he hasn't fought in a while, losing to Miguel Baeza. And when they were fighting more regularly, Gunnar Nelson was a far higher-level fighter. So I like Gunnar, probably a submission as well. Gunnar.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a grappling match. You got Sato, who's a judo black belt, and you got Nelson, who's a Brazilian jiu-jitsu a black belt. I mean, this is going to the ground at some point. Mind you, don't forget, Sato is a southpaw, man, with a heavy hand, man. He can knock him out. But if I had to put this on my parlay, which I probably won't, I would have to give it to it's going to be a submission win, most probably by Nelson.
I'm surprised you're not putting this one on your parlay. I look forward to seeing what your parlay will be. A couple of underdog picks that I think are worth a single bet. Jay Herbert over Ilia Topuria. A lot of people hyped with Topuria. He's 11-0. He's coming off a knockout win over Ryan Hall. But Jay Herbert is a good striker and about 6'1". He should be much taller than the 5'7" Topuria when they step into the cage. I mean, he should be. He will be because he's not going to lose height, although you never know. But I like Jay Herbert. I think Jay Herbert is worth a look. He's got good hands. He's tall. He's lanky. And he's going to be fighting at home in England. I think the crowd might give him a little extra push. I'm not going to put him on a parlay, but I am going to give you some odds. Plus 433 for Jay Herbert. So I'm going to give a single bet down. When we give our bets, I'll throw a couple of bucks on Herbert as well. And I like another one, Paul Craig, great Brazilian jiu-jitsu player. He is the underdog, plus 157, and taking it on Nikita Krylov. I think Craig is worth a look as the underdog as well. Krylov has been tapped, I think, a couple of times in his career, and I could see Paul Craig pulling one off here. Craig is very dangerous. He beat our boy Magomed Ankalaev. Yep. At some point
by
in
one
the
second.
UFC. Yeah, real close. But
by 1 second.
Krylov's big wins.
Shogun.
Krylov's big wins in the UFC coming over, yep, OSP and Johnny Walker. But I think Paul Craig is going to be able to pull this one off. He's won three in a row, including a TKO win over the very tough Jamal Hill. I mean, Jamal Hill is a bad man. Jamal Hill just knocked out Johnny Walker. Like, Jamal Hill's legit. And Paul Craig knocked him out last year.
Yeah, it's impressive.
And
yeah,
I'm surprised,
right,
now that Paul Craig is the underdog coming into this fight against Nikita Krylov. So not only do I think Craig will win, but I'm actually surprised that he's not the favorite. Plus 157, the underdog. I like that. I think he's worth a look. I might even toss him on my
Krylov
party.
Is a pretty big light heavyweight still. I think he, yeah, probably has like a little bit size advantage on Paul Craig. But I'm going with Craig also. I'm a Craig fan ever since he destroyed Rua. I think this guy's pretty good still.
I'm going to give you the Team Dave parlay. I'm going to give it to you. AJ, you can give us your picks as well. Here's my parlay. I'm keeping it simple. It's another three-fight parlay just like last week, but I'm going to give you some fun ones. Paddy Pimblett, minus 567, I think is a lock. Gunnar Nelson as well, I think gets a solid win over Takashi Sato. And Paul Craig, I like him as an underdog over Nikita Krylov. $20 over a bet99 will get you $71.51. It's not bad. Not a bad payout. It's not a crazy life-changing payout. But if you tell me you could take $20 and make it $71 overnight, why wouldn't you? With Team Dave, Pimblett, Nelson, Craig, Team Dave Parlay. Team Dave Parlay won last week, and we're looking to do 2 weeks in a row. Let's go. Freddie, AJ, who wants it?
Go ahead, Freddie.
I don't have a computer in front of me, so I'm just going to go with it. From my head, I'm going with Aspinall and Craig. What does that do?
Aspinall and Craig. I like that parlay. It's a two-fight parlay from Team Fred. Hey, it's a pretty good payout. It's even better than mine. How the hell did that happen? Team Fred going with Tom Aspinall, minus 129. Paul Craig, plus 157. $20 gets you 91.43. That's a good parlay right there. That's pretty good.
That scares me, the Paul Craig fight. But, I mean, Nikita has, like, fast hands. He's going to outstrike Paul. But if they go to the ground, I mean, he'll get submitted. He's been submitted 5 times in his career. And you know Paul Craig, he finishes guys,
yeah,
on the ground. Like we saw with Magomed. If you can submit Magomed, like, and he was taking a beating in that fight, and he ended up, like, submitting him with 1 second left in the fight. It was ridiculous. But he still scares me. I'm gonna see on this.
I don't know. I think his striking is improved. He knocked out Jamal Hill in his last fight, didn't he?
That's impressive. I agree with you there. No, I agree with you. And I think he has four finishes in his last fights there. So, he's getting better. If you look at Paul Craig, he's just getting better.
He's been in some big fights, like with some good opponents. So, I like Paul Craig. He's been tested.
I agree.
Man, this is going to be okay. So for AJ's team, AJ, I'm going to go with Aspinall as for the win there. Then I'm going to go with Allen. Then I'm going to go with Paddy the Batty because I think he is the future. I'm going to stay away from the Gunner fight. I'm going to try to make some money for people. So I'm going to go with Sergey Pavlovich fight. He's coming back. He's a heavyweight from the past. I think he's going to knock this guy out. He's only had one loss in 12 pro fights, man, and he's pretty much knocked everybody out. So he's on the undercard. That's the only thing. If it doesn't win with Sergey, I'm done. But, man, I'm tossing, man.
Who do you have? Give me again. Aspinall, Allen, Pimblett, and who? Sergey.
Yeah.
Okay, Pavlovich. Yeah, versus I can Shamil. See that. Anything else?
Okay.
Four fights.
Man, I'm... AJ, man. I'm going to go with the Paul Craig, man. I want to put it down, but I want people to win because I'm worried about that fight. So you know what? I'm staying away from the Paul Craig fight, man. I'm nervous about Nikita, man. What's that?
Yeah.
That means me and Dave are going to win our parlays because we both have Paul Craig.
100%.
And then Aspinall is going to take care of business. And what was your other pick, Dave? I forgot. You had a three-fight parlay.
Yeah, so. It was Patty, Gunner, and Craig.
Alan.
A good
did you take Allen as well?
No, I did a three-fight parlay. I took Pat. Nope. I mean, I think Allen will win, but I didn't put him in my parlay because it's a close fight. So I went with Patty, Gunner, and Paul Craig. That's my three-fight parlay. AJ, you have a four-fight parlay right now. Aspinall,
you know what,
Allen,
Dave?
Patty, and Sergey. You got more for me?
You know what? Throw in Paul, man. I'm going to throw in Paul. I'm going to – it's like
– all right. Go for it. Go for it. You owe us a win, AJ. You owe us a win. Let's go. Aspinall, Team AJ. You got Aspinall, Allen, Pimblett, Pavlovich, and Craig. $20 gets you 260.32 with the Team AJ parlay. Oh, my goodness. Craig, Pavlovich, Pimley, Allen, Aspinall. Let's see
that's a good card, man.
Do.
That's a good card. The only one that can mess me up, I think, is the Craig fight, which, I mean, I can't see Nikita, man. If he goes to the ground, Paul should be able to close him up. But you're right. His striking has improved so much more. But Nikita has fast hands, man. He'll throw more punches. But let's hope Paul can pull it off, man. I don't care how he wins. Just win it. And it's a good payout, man. $20 for how much? 206?
Yeah. Man, I just see a picture. Well, I'll show you a picture of how Paul Craig won. I don't know if you guys remember the Jamal Hill fight. I didn't really remember. But Paul Craig locked him up in a triangle and then just punched him until the referee had to stop it. Look at this. Just stuck.
Yeah.
That's how Paul Craig TKO'd Jamal Hill. Put him in a triangle and they just went boom, 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 boom. And a guy couldn't escape. And then he tapped. No, he didn't tap. Sorry, the ref stopped it. He didn't tap. He just got punched in the face over and over again.
So
Paul Craig didn't win against Jamal Hill standing up. Like, it's a TKO, but it's on paper it's a little bit confusing. But really, he locked him in a triangle and then punched his face, and the referee had to stop it because, you know, couldn't escape.
I mean, he could do that to Nikita. I can see that exactly happening, man.
Yeah.
He's so sleek with his jiu-jitsu, and he has such great control, man, from his back, man. He's, like, literally mounted on this guy, and he's able to, like, drop elbows to stop that fight. That's the thing with Paul Craig. He has amazing, amazing skills. Enough so that he beat Magomed. That's enough for me to say, like, he should beat Nikita, man. He should beat Nikita. But anything's possible, man.
Yeah, I mean, anything is possible. Team AJ could actually win this weekend. Anything's possible. Last weekend, it was Team Dave. Let's not forget. Last weekend, Team Dave won, and it was a big win, and it was beautiful. We had our man Azamat Mirzakhanov win. We had Magomed Ankalaev win. I also gave you an underdog pick of J.J. Aldrich over Jillian Robertson. She won. A lot of big wins last week. I want to talk about that Magomed Ankalaev-Thiago Santos fight real quick. Magomed, a lot of people saying it was boring. It wasn't, you know, the performance we were looking for. Didn't finish Thiago Santos, but he did win a unanimous decision, did handle him, and avoided the punishment for the most part. Second round got a little shaky, but, you know, Thiago Santos is so powerful and so dangerous. I thought Magomed fought the perfect fight. And I know, Fred, you still think that, you know, maybe Jiří or Rakic will be the guys to beat Ankalaev. But I don't think so, man. Like, seeing Ankalaev fight last week, it reminded me of how technical he is, how he stays out of danger, how he picks his spots. And I think
to rematch Paul Craig.
Yeah, well, I'd like
to
see
Craig
that fight.
If Paul Craig wins, he should go over him. Like, if Paul Craig wins this weekend, man, he should be ranked over Ankalaev.
I don't know about that, but maybe.
Listen, Fred, listen, on that fight with Paul Craig, Paul Craig was taking a beating in the first, second, and third. We just got lucky with like 7 seconds. It was literally like 7-8 seconds where Magomed made a mistake.
You play to and win he got the caught. Game, man.
I know, that's but right. The thing is that fight, if it would have went to decision, I mean, it was unanimous.
Look.
So what?
Look. Amanda Nunes was killing Juliana for the whole first round, man. And in the end, man, she lost, man.
That's right.
Same thing, man. Who cares what happened before, man?
And Paul I told Craig, you she man. Would. I told you she would.
Yep.
You did, Dave.
I'm just saying Jiří's a much more fun fighter than Ankalaev, man. Jiří doesn't try to win by decision. Jiří tries to take your head off.
Yeah, but he gets hit a lot. And I think in a fight against Ankalaev, he would get hit a lot and he'd probably lose. But that's a fight I want to see. That's a fight I need to see. And hopefully we can get Jiří in there against Glover Teixeira as quickly as possible. We'll see what happens there. There's a PFL show tomorrow night. Michael Dufault from Montreal, from the Montreal area. He's a H2O MMA product. He's going to be
Isn't
fighting.
Isn't it Mikael?
Mikael? I don't. It might be.
I'm
I don't want
sure.
to mispronounce.
Oh, really? Wow. Good
yeah.
stuff.
Dufault
what
is
time
fighting.
Is that at?
Tomorrow, PFL 5. I don't know. I don't know what time it is, AJ. You got to do. Check your local listing, motherfucker.
I will check it out.
I'll tell
That's
you.
That's good,
here.
Man. It's good to see like local
PFL
fighters getting into the
Challenger thing. Series on 9 p.m. Starts at 9 p.m. tomorrow. So that's the PFL Challenger Series. Mikael or Michael. It could be Michael. Whatever.
Not sure, actually.
He's fighting for PFL tomorrow, so you could watch him fight. A good Quebec prospect in the PFL Challenger Series. So we wish Mr. Dufault luck tomorrow. He's a badass. He's a hell of a fighter. So I look forward to see him fight tomorrow for the PFL. And that's it. We're watching UFC on Saturday. I'm doing another show tomorrow at 10 p.m. Eastern time with Johnny North after SmackDown. We got a full plate. What do you want, AJ?
What about, man, you didn't mention, like, we have to do a campaign for free Ortega, man. Like, we were talking about it earlier. It's important. Ortega, man,
Who'd
we need
shoot?
Him in the UFC. Well, right, he didn't shoot anybody. There was actually, that's another thing with Kevin Holland, actually. But Ortega right now is
Cain
stuck
Velasquez.
In Mexico.
Well,
Cain Velasquez. But,
free Cain Velasquez.
So free Ortega. So we've got free Cain
Ortega,
and now we've got free Ortega.
So Ortega's saying that some cops pulled him over and wanted money, and he said, no money for you, cops. So they took his driver's license, and now he can't leave Mexico and get back across the border. That's the situation with Brian Ortega.
Exactly.
Right?
But the thing is that like, there's been no communication since his last...
So
like,
what happens... why can't he come back? What happens if you lose your wallet?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's bad news,
I
man.
Don't
you,
understand,
you gotta
right?
get... Man, you got to go to the consulate. You got to get there. The guy can't drive. How's he going to get around, man? Basically, who knows? He's in Mexico, but anything could happen. And right now, there's been no communication from Brian Ortega. Let's hope he's okay, man. Like, you don't fool around. This is a different story, man. But right now, Ortega is in a position where people are concerned. I mean, he's asking the UFC for help. That was his last message, you know, asking
but
the UFC to help him out.
I don't know.
Was that
the story seems to? I was gonna say you're saying he's not showing any sign of life, but at the same time you're saying he's asking for help. So you know it's a little.
Well,
weird.
that was his last communications. That was his last communications, and there's been nothing since. So I mean, things could have changed since we're on the show, but it is kind of listen. I've had my my fair share of like scare in Mexico a few times. Where I got into an interaction with some guy and like the army and police had to come and somebody told me like, listen, bud, you better not fool around with these guys because they'll throw you into jail like lickety split, man. And it's not like you have any rights. So, I almost learned a hard lesson way back in Cancun, Mexico. But the thing is that, listen, if things can happen, man, you know, regardless, they know he has money, you know, that's the thing. People know he's, you know, he has money. Ortega has money, but let's hope everything works out for him, or else we'll have to put out another, GoFundMe page to get Ortega back.
I'm not
and
putting
I'll
out a GoFundMe page
guns.
For Ortega. He could put out a GoFundMe page for me. Forget about it.
What?
Come on, he can figure
You're rich.
His own
Take
life
it
out.
Easy, man.
Not like Ortega, listen, man. I don't have that UFC main event money, baby. Come on.
Well, I like to see him like in a fight.
I think
soon.
We need. I think we need a Russian or a Ukrainian oligarch billionaire, you know, to finance our show.
Yeah, they can hide their money in my bank account until all this shit blows over. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
That's a good point there, Freddie.
I only
good
take
point,
a
man.
Small handling fee for your billions, Mr. Oligarchs. All right? Khabib, hook me up with your friends. Send location. Okay?
Send money.
And that's it. And that's it. All right, AJ?
Good night.
All right.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, man. To everyone.
All right, then.
Come on, Dave. Get into the... Man, you guys. When's the next holiday? Oh, Victoria Easter. Day. I'll dress up as the queen.
Hard work pays off.
Easter.
And dreams come Easter. True. Bad times don't last. But bad guys do.